up that store, and the guy's like, I'm not working there. So I called in, and I'm like, yeah, we all going for our Dunkin' Donuts. And he always calls me the kick-ass girl. So I don't...
Got the wrong mic.
On this show. The last time... I'm on his show.
How'd Sean know it was you then?
Hmm?
You didn't mention our show, did you?
Hmm? Oh, because he goes, why are you out so early in the morning? I'm like, I'm on my way
to do a radio program.
Program. Three
men on a mic. Oh, no. But he loved that.
No, yeah. Actually, he did. He's like, that's cool. He goes, really have kick-ass. And the guy's like, this other guy that's not a regular on his show, he's like, you know her? He goes, yeah, she's a regular on my show. He goes, I know her. She's kick-ass.
I guess you got a name now. We'll just have to call you Kick Ass.
You used to call me the girl with the dude up here when I first met him. Because I used to work on the show. And I used to be good friends. Remember Wong? He used to talk about Wong all the time.
Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua. Three men and a microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR, and this is Civil War Radio. Can I tell you something? Got to tell you one thing. If you expect the freedom that you say is yours, prove to me that you deserve it. Help us to preserve it. Or being free will just be words and nothing more.
Introducing now, in the corner of Case's Mini Storage Plaza, wearing camouflage boxers and smoking a cigar, hailing from Canandaigua, New York, Corporal Tim Thornton's the all-new The Military Exchange. The Military Exchange is proud to present over 5,000 feet of pure 100% military. The Military Exchange is your source for all your military needs and proudly supports active reserve and former military, VFWs, legions, and leagues, Boy Scouts, Sea Cadets, Civil Air Patrol, and your family. Presenting cigars fresh from our plantation in the Dominica, collectibles, t-shirts, hoodies, and ball caps, rank and insignia uniforms for parade, security, and law enforcement, camouflage clothing, outerwear, wool pants, parkas, and field jackets, camping backpacks, tents, and sleep systems, vintage clothing and gear, Class A's, past and present, tactical and survival gear, antiques and airsoft, brand new and pre-enjoyed military camouflage and boots. Check out our military talk show at IronMikesMX.com. 5,000 feet to pure 100% military in Canandaigua, New York.
Clerico, can I get a drink? Sumatra, pull down the shades. Maduro, lock the door. We're gonna party. Can you hear me? How long I've been up? Welcome, enlisted and officers, WMs and Devil Dogs. I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, your host for tonight. This is the DD214 and Laurel Cigar Lounge, fresh from the Dominican Republic, Hickory Motto Cigars, here at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Smoking lamp is out.
Good morning. This is WKR 1310, Three Men and a Microphone in Canandaigua, New York, very close to Arsenal Hill. And this is the coastal snowstorm, minus 1 degrees. And this is Three Men and a Microphone, Civil War radio segment with Armin Marinetti, Mike Yarger, and myself, Corporal Tim Thornton. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you. Happy New Year, everybody. Good
Happy
to see everybody
New Year.
Smiling. If I have to excuse myself, the dogs from the sled that I took in this morning might need some nourishment. So, it's been an interesting ride in this morning.
Bring the dogs in. They'll get along good with shots.
So, again, we'll start the show with a reminder. Civil War Radio, we're going to be civil. That means we're going to be civilized. We're going to act proper. We're going to be polite. But we may have different opinions, and that's where the little tug-of-war comes in. But it's going to be a verbal tug-of-war. No ropes, no fisticuffs, nothing like that. So to continue from our last shows, we're doing the U.S. Constitution. I'm going to do a quick plug for February. Tim, you and I have talked about maybe doing something about economics.
I want to do a segment on, for my part, urban economics.
Okay, good, good. As a setup, I'm going to go to hillsdale.edu, I believe. Check that out. Hillsdale College has free courses available to anybody and everybody online. So I'm going to take their Economics 101 class. There's usually 10 or so lectures. The lectures could be lengthy. They might be 45 minutes. But it's open to the public. It's free. All you got to do is go in and give them your name and information. And that's what I'm going to use as a preparatory Economics 101 class.
And we might do that segment with Reed Robbins from the Conservative Party.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I talked with Reed the other day. He said he'd be glad to do it. Maybe when they have their President's Week off in February, he'll come in an early morning and sit down with us and go over it. So, yeah, good. And if you want to join us, we're going to have our first meeting coming up the first Thursday of February. I believe it's the 2nd. I believe it's the 8th. I don't have my calendar handy. Double-check me, people. Might be Thursday the 8th at 6:30 over at the American Legion on North Main Street, post 256. We're downstairs in the basement where we won't bother anybody. So, you know, we talk those economics, it gets rowdy. So, we're moving on to the U.S. Constitution. I'm using my Annenberg edition of the United States Constitution, what it says and what it means. So you can also get this online. They've done a very nice job. If you go to www.justicelearning.org, justice learning is one word, it does have it set up similar to this little pamphlet.
Okay, now just... because we're on radio, justice is J-U-S-T-I-C-E.
Correct.
And not J-U-S-T space U-S.
Yeah, that's just, right. Just us, Gefellas. Justice.
Right. Justice.
Like Justice League.
Yeah. Yeah, one time I looked that up because I heard that word getting knocked around a lot, and I wasn't sure about the definition of justice. But it's basically to make things right. If somebody's been wronged, we have a court system, the justice system, that's supposed to help us go somewhere to a third party and make things right.
Like Buford T. Justice, you some bitches.
Oh, my goodness. Fill us in.
That's the big guy, the man himself.
Smokey and the Bandit, was it?
Smokey and the Bandit or the other one?
Yeah, no. All of them. Well, what's the guy's name, the big actor? The big guy.
Burt Reynolds?
No. The big guy. He's Buford T. Justice. How do you say his name?
Oh, Walking Tall? Is that
No? No. You know,
the big guy.
You guys don't remember who he is?
No.
Sorry.
All right, keep going.
Back to Article 4, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution. So Article 4 is often referred to as the Full Faith and Credit Clause. And I'm going to read the first section, and you'll understand why. It goes like this.
Jackie Gleason.
Oh, that's right. Full faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and judicial proceedings of every other state. And the Congress may by general laws prescribe the manner in which such acts, records, and proceedings shall be proved in the effect thereof. So in general, this section gives Congress some authority over the states. But keep in mind, it was the states that created our federal government and created this document. So, Congress has certain things that they can watch over the states with regards to. So the first one there, one state has to honor another state's laws. So there's an example given in the what it means part. I'm going to do a lot of reading here because this Article 4 isn't very popular with many people that know the Constitution. You would think it would be because later on in this segment, we're going to talk about Governor Cuomo's State of the State address, and he wants to sue the federal government over the new tax bill. That might be where Article 4 comes into play. So we're going to try to figure out, is that constitutional for him to do that? All right, so Article 4, Section 1 ensures that the states respect and honor the state laws and court orders of other states, even when they're different than their own. So if the state of New York says that there can be a same-sex marriage, and that couple moves to a state that doesn't see that as being recognized, those people are still considered to be married. Okay, there's an example. All right.
Okay.
Section 1 also gives Congress the power to determine how states recognize records and laws from other states and how they enforce each other's court orders. Child custody disputes is an example given in this book here. When state laws are different or that sets out the process by which a person winning a lawsuit in one state and can enforce the order in another state. So in general, it's a way for the states to work together. Congress has to make sure that there's, even though there might be a difference in law, that they can work things out. Okay? So that's it in a nutshell with Section 1. Now moving on to Section 2, here's where it gets a little bit more historic with Section 2. In Section 2, it states that the citizens of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of citizens in the several states. I'm going to read a little bit more because this particular article was section, this section of Article 4 was changed with an amendment. A person charged in any state with treason, felony, or other crime who shall flee from justice and be found in another state shall, on demand of the executive authority of the state from which he fled, be delivered up to be removed to the state having jurisdiction of the crime. Now, here's where the history comes into play. If you guys remember back before the Civil War broke out, there was a key Supreme Court case called the Dred Scott case, where Dred Scott was a slave. Now, I'm doing this from memory, so forgive me if I'm not perfect with this explanation, but this is how I remember it. His master set him free upon his master's death, and he went to a free state. Heirs of the master that passed away sued for Dred Scott to come back as a slave to that family. Because remember, back during the days of slavery, people were considered property. They could be bought and sold just like cattle. Okay? So there's a New York State connection to that family that sued. Yeah, there's part of that family lived in New York State. I want to say more towards the outside of Albany area, but Dred's...
This is before the Civil War?
This is before the Civil War, yeah. Yep, and then Dred Scott had to be returned to that family to serve as the heir's slave. They eventually freed him in New York State, but it was a very controversial Supreme Court case that some people say led to the Civil War, was instrumental in leading to the Civil War. So that's under Article 4, Section 2. Now I'm going to abbreviate just a couple comments. You guys jump in anytime you want if something comes to mind. So a state in general cannot discriminate against citizens of other states. But there are differences. For example, a hunting license here in New York State might be different than a hunting license in Pennsylvania. So you can still have differences. So you can't go down to Pennsylvania and say that, well, my New York State hunting license is valid here unless they recognize that. Okay. Also, criminals from one state have to be returned to the state where they committed the crime. You can't harbor criminals. So bringing it fast forward to today, sometimes I wonder about these sanctuary cities and these sanctuary states. Are they violating the U.S. Constitution if they don't cooperate with the federal government to maybe return somebody to the place where a crime was committed, even if it's coming across the border? That may not be a crime, but it's definitely a civil offense when you come in as a citizen of another country across the border unannounced. You don't make it known that you're here.
Right.
Okay? So let's move on from that. If there's no questions, I see everybody looking at me like,
You know, when you talk about a hunting license, that's good in New York State but not good in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
There's a push right now to get some of these permits and licenses, especially like a pistol permit, so that if it's legal in New York, it's legal, and it doesn't have to be just New York. It could be legal in Alabama. It should be legal in New York State. You know, we live in one country, and if you get a pistol permit in one country for
one state,
and then you cross the border and you're a felon, and you screw that up, and then you're in jail and your life is ruined, I think that's preposterous. You know, at the same time, the gun guys, Second Amendment guys, would warrant you to think about what it means to be under one federal law either. You don't exactly want that. But so there's a big issue with that. And I am totally in favor of, in the best way possible, that my license up here is good anywhere in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be. Absolutely. Too many people have been tripped up just crossing the border, like you're going from Czechoslovakia into another country, when it's really just Pennsylvania to New York.
Right. That's Mike, did you have something that you
Well, so one example of that would be people in Pennsylvania who have pistol permits, they're not recognized in Pennsylvania. So when you get to the Pennsylvania border, you have to get out of your car, you have to take that pistol, you have to put it in the trunk of your vehicle, right? Then drive across the border. Next state is Maryland. In Maryland, you're allowed to carry. They recognize New York State, so you can get that pistol out of your trunk and carry it again. But, you know, you take a trip down to Florida, drive down to Florida, and all the way down, you're getting out of your car, throwing the, you know, pistol.
And it's just a money grab. You know, so you got to pay for your pistol permit in New York, and then you got to get, I'll call it a rider. And then you can go someplace else and add Pennsylvania to it. There's some class you could take that'll add, I don't know, like 24 more states.
Right.
It's ridiculous. If it's granted in the United States, it should be good for the United States.
But the thing is, it's not granted in the United States. It's actually New York State that, and each state individually gives out the concealed carry permits. So that's why the rules vary from state to state. So.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be that way. It's not right. You're still an American citizen.
And there's where
your driver's license is good wherever you go.
Yes. That's the big picture. What you're just saying there, Tim, is the big picture, is that in the United States, we are a federalist or a federal nation, meaning that we have 50 individual states that have authority over their geographical territory. And sometimes there's conflict, especially on the border. So I have mixed thoughts about it because I feared nationalism to the point where some states, you know, there's a difference between people that live in the South and people that live in the North. That's just a fact. So some people may be hurt. And this is the big picture is, trouble usually begins when one person wants another person to do something they don't want to do. And that might be the case when we want somebody from across the nation, Texas, for example, to do what we do here in New York State. Now, it might be good the other way around, but it's up to the individual. So that's where we have a lot of conflict.
Well, you know, like when I woke up this morning, they had shut down the state of Colorado. Not for the snow, but because they're going after...
They're all high.
They're all high. Jeff Sessions is going to try to shut down Colorado.
Wow.
You know, roundabout way.
Yeah.
Talking about licenses, I'm a licensed nurse, and I have reciprocity in a couple states, and one of them is Colorado. But there, I can work in the three corners of the state, which is Nebraska, Kansas, and I forget the other state there. But, you know, I think that if I'm a nurse, I should be able to get a job anywhere because I already passed the board, the NICLEX, so.
Well, when I went down to South Carolina a couple years ago and I taught as a long-term substitute, I had to get a South Carolina teaching certificate, even though I had New York State. Now, in South Carolina, they recognize New York State as being one of the tougher ways of becoming a teacher. So it was simply doing the paperwork and paying the fees, if you will. But it was a process that was painless to do that. So that's... Let's move on. What do you think? We got one pretty good.
Yeah. About right. 5 minutes.
All right, 5 minutes. So let's make it quicker, and then we'll get into a conversation about...
The state of the state.
Section 3 of the Article 4 of the U.S. Constitution. Let's see, what's the most important thing here? New states may be admitted by the Congress into this union, but no state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state. So the federal government can't take part of California to make a 51st state, we'll call it New California, or something like that, nor any state be formed by the junction of two or more states. So think about back in the 1860s when a couple states got together and said, hey, we're going to form a confederacy. And the union said, you can't do that. You're violating the U.S. Constitution. So that's found right there in Article 4, Section 3. States cannot combine themselves to form a mini nation within the United States. Yes.
Right.
Okay. Congress shall have power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory of other property belonging to the United States. And nothing in this Constitution shall be construed as to prejudice any claims of the United States or of any particular state. So I'm thinking this is when we have problems with the federal government coming in and taking lands from people that have had breeding rights on those lands. A couple years ago, there was a big problem out west about specific lands, and the federal government eliminated people from using those lands. Okay, one more thing, and then we'll move on. Article 4, Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
So why do we have Democrats?
Well, Democrats are people, too. You know, that's a different philosophy about government.
But I believe it.
Again, just to remind everybody, our official form of government here in the United States is a constitutional republic.
Not a democracy.
Correct. We have people voting for representatives, but the representatives are the ones that take it over when they get to Congress, okay? We can always vote them out, so we're told, but we know some of these guys like Orrin Hatch, who just said he's going to hang
step
it up.
Down, right?
Since 1977, the year I graduated from college,
yeah.
He's been in Congress. So, but we are a Republican form of government. And shall protect each of them against invasion in on application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence. Okay, so our new federal government, according to the U.S. Constitution, is supposed to protect us from invasion and foreign violence. Now, some people argue that When people come across the border, it's a form of invasion. I've heard that argument, and sometimes it makes sense. They may not be an army crossing the border, but they are coming in, and then they're infiltrating into the society, and hopefully they become productive members of our American society. So that's it for Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution.
Right, you promised everybody you'd talk about Jeff Sessions and the marijuana grab.
I think Mike's more up to speed on that one than
well,
I am.
Well, I mean, this is fairly new, but basically Jeff Sessions has come out and said that he's not going to recognize these laws, marijuana laws, that these various states are passing, and that the federal government will continue to prosecute on federal law. In these various states. So, and the states, again, are raising up and saying, hey, wait a minute, that's beyond the powers of the federal government. And so that will probably end up being worked out in the Supreme Court, I'm guessing.
Because during the Obama administration, they passed something. There's a name.
Right.
I heard them say it on a,
right.
You know, this morning. So they're relying on what was passed during that administration to go forward. But if... You know, if you end something, or I don't know that they officially did, then they could probably, you know, federally prosecute. But again, you know, if one administration says it's okay, and you don't clearly make it not okay, you know, and then people get arrested. This is how people ruin lives. For what?
Right.
For political party differences?
Right.
Now, see, in that respect, if Colorado wants to be the pot state, then let them. And all the pot smokers can move to Colorado, which a lot of them have.
Right.
I have no problem with that.
Right.
The constitutional term that I've heard kicked around for what Sessions and the state of Colorado differ over is called nullification. Nullification means that a state, or in some cases a city, like sanctuary cities, are not going to recognize federal law. So the place for that to be decided is in the courts, and those type of cases usually get them worked up to the Supreme Court. But I'm going to leave this up to you, Tim. I know we have a guest coming in. I was prepared to talk about Governor Cuomo's State of the State address. I printed out the transcript. I brought it on my computer. And I watched the video, all hour and 30 minutes plus.
Well, hit it.
You want to do it now, or you want to...
Why don't we roll it into the 2020 segment? Because I was going to bring up the State of the State and the candidate for 2020 segment.
Okay.
So,
okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay, great. Well, when we come back from these messages, we're going to come back with Bruce Chapman from J.D. Chapman Insurance in Canandaigua and Macedon. I'm sure Bruce handles way more than those two cities. And Bruce is going to give us a tip on why the freezing cold temperatures can affect your insurance.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, how are you?
What's the matter, Cupcake? Winter's here, and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts. Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour? Car won't start, mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift just to check the mail? Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck? Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help you bear the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The Military Exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter. Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, Polypro, thermal, wiki, and super wiki. Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is neatly nestled in the south wedge between the India House and Salvatore's Pizza. Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, your premier full-service pet salon. Our courteous and professional staff has served pets in the Rochester area for the past 16 years. Come visit our salon and let us pamper your pet. Kim's Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is a full-service grooming salon dedicated to quality grooming services in a low-stress environment using all-natural products. Kim is very knowledgeable and provides a warm, friendly grooming environment. Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa offers many grooming services such as full-service bath, full-service haircut pedicures, nail filing, facials, flea bath, toothbrushing, shed-less packages, and specialty shampoos mini spa. Call for a free quote at 585-355-4761. Visit our website and Facebook page, Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa.
And now, a moment of bliss, courtesy of Iron Mike's Military Exchange and Camping Supply.
My Wooby, you swept me off my feet and put into my heart such fiery heat. At first sight, I would not have known the kind of warmth and protection I'd be shown. You've helped me through the good and bad. For being issued you, I am so glad. You are my warmth and soulmate, and we both know that it's fate. Forever, I will hold you tight. Because of you, I know I'll never be cold. I'm yours, and you are mine. Forever and ever will be just fine. And on the eighth day, God created the poncho liner, and the infantry was very thankful.
The American-made military-issue poncho liner, available in assorted colors along with the USGI poncho to create a ranger bag. Available at Iron Mike's Military Exchange, Route 332, Canandaigua. Visit online at ironmikes.co.
Tactical to practical. Cold weather clothing and gear at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Polypro cold weather masks, long underwear, gloves, boots, socks, caps, parkas, and field jackets on sale now at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua. The Military Talk Show, IronMikesMX.com. Call us at 394-2960.
Welcome back to Three Men and a Microphone, and this is our interview segment with Bruce Chapman from J.D. Chapman Insurance, where freezing cold temperatures can affect your policy. And this is Bruce Chapman.
I guess now it's four men and a microphone, right?
Right, four men and a mic. So how are you, sir?
Very good, thanks.
Could you tell us a little bit about your company and what you do?
Yeah. Actually, we're celebrating our 60th year this year.
Wow, 60 years.
Yeah, my dad started the business in 1958 with my mother, Doris. There's two employees at that point. Now we're up to, I think, 16. We have two locations in Macedon and Canandaigua. And we represent approximately 20 different insurance companies. So we're pretty proud of the fact that we've been around in a family business for 60 years. That's a nice accomplishment. Right now, I am the owner with my business partner and nephew, Trevor Chapman. We purchased the business from my brother, Eric, who's still involved in the business. Actively out working he's just go all the time. So you'd mentioned weather, and that it's more about claims. It's not really affecting your insurance, but there's a variety of claims that occur, obviously, when it's so cold out. And I was kind of polling my staff a little bit, like, what do you see out there? And, you know, knowing what I see, right now with the bitter cold, you see a lot of burst pipes in homes. And when you have a burst pipe, the first thing you want to do is prevent any further damage. So obviously it's really important to know where your water shutoff is.
Absolutely.
You want to shut that water off quick to avoid any further damage. And now the thing is, you can't live in your house without water. So in order to prevent any further damage, you can call in, say, a plumber. I think you'd want to do that right away. Get that pipe fixed. If, let's say, it's the weekend or, you know, you've been on vacation and you find that you've got a basement full of water or whatever and your house and it's damaged, then you've got a real big mess of a claim on your hands. Burst pipes on your general homeowner's policy, that's going to be a covered loss. There's not going to be really a gray area there. The way it works, too, is the insurance company will cover the damage that does, but they aren't going to cover the pipe itself that broke. But typically, that's peanuts compared to what the claim is. The other thing with homes, when we get a lot of snow and cold weather, is ice damming. And that can be a real mess, ice damming. And even people who don't have claims normally will have ice damming. So that's why it's really important to keep your gutters clean, make sure that, the ice and snow can get off your roof. And even when you have a lot of snow, you might want to clean your roof. However, don't get up there and kill yourself.
Right.
And then there's the wire thing. They work good, but again, you want to make sure that they don't, catch on fire or something
right,
like that.
You
want to
make sure they're properly installed
exactly.
So that they're not overheating your roofing tiles and igniting them.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. No doubt. Yep. I feel like the purveyor of doom here.
What about all those space heaters and things that people make mistakes with? We just had a fire in the city where it was a guy was trying to keep something warm in his shed, and then that caused a fire. You know, so there's all this, stuff that's bad to do, especially with space heaters.
Yeah, yeah. You want to make sure that you keep them away from, any kind of combustibles. And think about the space heaters that are out there, too, from the 50s. I mean, those things were treacherous looking when you just look at them, even.
Yeah.
There's a lot more safer ones now with the ceramic heaters and things like that. So,
does insurance cover, say use an extension cord to a space heater?
Yep, fire is a basic cause of loss, so it would cover the fire that resulted as a result from that. Nope, absolutely. Yep, that would be a covered cause of loss.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I got to ask, if you use an undersized extension cord to
right.
a space heater,
yep.
and that causes a fire, are you still covered?
Stupidity is covered, yes.
Stupidity yeah, is
yeah,
covered.
Yeah, it is.
That's why I carry insurance. If it didn't cover stupidity, there'd be no sense carrying it.
You know, that's something my father-in-law got on me when I first got married.
Yeah.
Every extension cord in our house is the thickness of some kind of industrial cord.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And you go, man, how come it's so? He goes, you want to have the right cord to power your air conditioner.
Definitely.
Whatever, anything
yep.
like
right.
that. So
yep.
they're thick.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
The ones we have.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You know, the other thing you see, too, are backups of sewers and drains and stuff.
Oh, yeah, the old sump pump.
Yep, the sump pump. Most or a lot of homeowners have an endorsement on them called backup of sewers and drains. I would advise anyone to look at your homeowner's policy. Make sure you have that endorsement.
Okay, so that's like a rider?
Yes.
That goes on to your, because your regular insurance isn't going to cover that.
No, but insurance agents now, for the most part, are including that in there. What really prompted that was the ice storm back in 1991.
Okay.
That was kind of the infancy of when backup of sewers and drains was coming out. So it's important to check your policy to make sure you have that.
Right. Now, we had a story on 2020 this week about a woman who lives in a trailer.
Yep.
And her drain line
mm-hmm.
on her trailer froze.
Right.
So it wasn't the water pipe itself.
Right.
People were suggesting, maybe throw some rock salt down the drain
mm-hmm.
or try various things. And one of the suggestions was to put a salamander heater, so it's blowing underneath the trailer and
yep.
that would, eventually allow it to open up. And I'm not sure what I've been a plumber for a lot of years. And in all the years, I've never run across a frozen drain line. I've run across frozen water pipes left and right. But frozen drain lines I haven't run into. But then I don't work a lot on trailers either, so.
But their trailer's drain line would be above ground.
It's above ground,
right.
But it actually, is supposed to be insulated coming off from the building, and then it's supposed to run into the ground, and there's supposed to be heavy insulation around it, so it's not supposed to freeze.
It probably doesn't have that skirt around the trailer.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
really, see, that's a dangerous spot. Any pipes stuck out there in the open above ground, in the element,
oh, yeah.
that's the coldest spot.
Big yeah. time.
Yeah.
Funny you should say that. I actually had a claim just like that. Or it wasn't. It didn't end up actually being a claim. But I had someone call me on Saturday. My cell phone's the emergency number.
Okay.
And they thought that they had a burst pipe. They had a mess going on. They have a two-family home. And so I told them, I go, you do whatever it takes to prevent further damage. Call the plumber, if you need to get like an emergency person in there to sop up the water, go ahead and do it. So I followed up with her when we got back to turn the claim in after the holiday. She said, actually, what it turned out was there was a frozen drain pipe that caused a little bit of damage, and they never ended up turning the claim in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
So I got to ask you, renter's insurance, right?
Yeah,
at this time of year, if you're a renter and you lose your heat or something like that, would renter's insurance cover you, say, for temporary housing, you know, until your apartment was able to be rehabilitated?
That's a great question. On a renter's policy, just like on your homeowner's policy, there is a component called additional living expense. And what that does is it's going to pay for you to live somewhere else while your house is being fixed or taken care of. It's typically about 20% of what the value of your home is. A renter's policy definitely includes that.
Okay.
It allows you to stay in a hotel, maybe gives you a meal or two. But absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many people that don't have renter's policies, too. And, you know, you're out in the cold, literally out in the cold.
Right.
And it's cheap. It's like $100 a year.
$100 a year, about less than $10 a month.
And if you combine that with your auto, it goes way down because all the credits go in. It's super cheap, and it really makes a lot of sense to have that.
So if you're out there and you're renting and you're not carrying renter's insurance, I'm sorry. I mean, this
the
may
landlord
be
a would like you to have your own renter's insurance.
Well, I mean, the landlords are carrying insurance on their properties. But anytime damage is done to the renter's property, their, you know, TV,
their actual, right.
Whatever it is that they have in their apartment, you know, they're looking to the landlord saying, hey, you've got to pay for this. And the landlord's like, no, my insurance doesn't cover that.
Right.
What is That's what you carry renter's insurance for.
What's the average cost of, say, a one-bedroom apartment
for
insurance?
I usually, like, the minimum cost is going to be about $100.
A month?
No, annually.
A year.
Per year.
Right, nothing.
So that's a good deal.
Right.
Six-pack or a pack of cigarettes.
But if you combine that with the same company that writes your auto insurance and get all the credits, it might go down to like $50, you know,
after all the credits. Just compare that $100 to a six-pack or cigarettes. I try to compare things to the cost of a pizza.
Yeah.
See where we differ. Yeah. You know, like giving your directions by bar or by, you know,
right?
Yeah, you know where that bar is.
Pizza in the future.
The other thing too with safety and things in the winter, you got to think about your car and how treacherous it is. Just today driving here was treacherous, and you know, having a kind of an emergency kit with you is pretty important. If you're off the road, you know, you want to make sure you can stay warm. And, you know, have some water. You hear about people that have crashed and stayed in their car for 48 hours before they're saved.
Right.
And you could easily freeze to death in that amount of time.
You know, real easily. A lot of people don't realize they'll come in and they'll get a wool blanket, which they should. And that means 100% wool blanket.
Yeah.
Not 80, not 60. Because then all you're doing is mixing cotton and pretending it's a wool blanket.
Right.
But that wool blanket will keep you warm even if it's wet.
Right.
And I believe wool has a big fire
resistance,
right? So one guy asked me, he goes, well, if I buy a wool blanket, you know, I got to make sure it's big enough to cover me all around. And I said, well, actually you don't, because most of your car seats have insulation. In fact, I think they all do. So just getting that blanket over the top of you and then the rest of your body, your butt and back is covered by that insulation.
Yep.
So if worse came to worse and you actually went off the road and you had to get someplace and you're not dressed for it, you could actually cut your car seat. I don't know about insurance on this, but pull out that insulation. Fill your pockets or your your pants, your shirt with the insulation.
Yeah.
And then walk to safety.
That's a great idea. I never thought about that.
I am full of survival tips.
Okay. But now, you mentioned, though, whether your insurance would cover it. If you have comprehensive on your policy, that is, like, if you hit a deer kind of thing or, you know, that, it is super broad coverage, and you'd probably have a claim that would be covered. However, you probably went off the road and crashed, so it'd be collision, and you'd be covered anyways.
So also in that emergency kit, right? You got to have your windshield washer fluid, spare windshield washer fluid.
Yeah, I didn't have the other day, and Mike dropped off some. You know, you ignore it, and you go, well,
I'm going to fill it up. Well, 3 days later, I still didn't fill it up.
Right.
Then I'm driving to work, and it's like, holy crap, I can't see nothing because it's not summer. It's salt. Salt in the winter, as soon as it hits your windshield, it just makes a big mess. You got to have windshield fluid. You can't get around it.
Definitely. Right. So, also... Well, Tim, when he told me he'd like to have me speak, I was like, well, I better download some stuff, you know? So I did download Cold Weather Essentials. This is actually right from Travelers.
Okay.
It talks about a safety emergency blanket, which we talked about, a first aid kit, reflective triangles, water, non-perishable snacks, flashlight. I'm sure everyone here has an ice scraper. If not, then that's a problem. Salt or sand, jumper cables.
Shovel would be good.
A little shovel.
Well,
it's
and I'll tell you, too, in terms of the ice scrapers, every year, because I have a large vehicle, my wife has a large vehicle, our scrapers are extending handles and like this. So they take up a lot of room in the car.
Right.
Right? So we take them out in the summer when we're not going to use them. And a lot of times we forget to put them back in when winter first rolls around.
Exactly.
So, you know, you find yourself stuck somewhere without the ice scraper.
The other thing it talks about, too, is like waterproof matches and candles.
Right.
They will give off a little bit of heat, too.
Right.
Because you can't run your car all the time. And the rule of thumb is if your car, it's cold in wintertime, if you're like half a tank down, you probably want to fill it up just to make sure you got enough gas to keep your car warm.
Yeah, right. And I got to give a plug because we sell those wool blankets. We sell the trifold shovels.
Yep.
And those two things alone. We do have bags of water, but you still got to be able to keep that in a way that it doesn't freeze.
Right. What about an MRE, too? You sell MREs, too, don't you?
Right. An MRE would bring you a long way from that 48 hours of being stuck on the thruway. That would be a good thing.
There's a lot of calories in one of those, isn't there?
1,500 or more.
Wow.
So you're gonna one MRE would keep you going for a full day.
Absolutely.
And you'd feel comfortable because eating keeps your body warm.
Definitely.
Now, the MREs, don't they come with like a sterno can or something along those lines?
There is a heat capacity. So if you took, like, say, snow or dirty water, so you wouldn't have to use your good water.
Right.
And you get just enough to get that heat packet going because it's a chemical reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Then that alone, people have taken those, it heats up, and you put it inside your jacket, you're going to stay warm.
Perfect. Yeah.
Or you can melt some snow to drink or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
All right. Well, that's...
make sure it's not yellow snow, though.
Right. Right. Well,
have you heard my yellow snow commercial?
No.
No, I have a whole. Yeah.
Okay. Is it a lemon flavor?
No. No, that's been another concern that's been expressed on 2020 is people having their pets left outside. So they're saying bring your animals inside when it gets this cold.
Definitely.
And, well, I generally agree with that piece of advice. There are dogs, such as huskies, who are actually designed for this type of weather and really don't have to be inside, even when it's this cold. So.
Well, I was surprised that my dog wanted to run around last night. You know, I'm like, get out, do your business, get right back in, worried about her paws. She's running around like it's summertime. But the poodle, when she first found this weather, not last night, she's 5 years old now, but the first time she hit winter, she runs outside, gets in the snow, and she's having fun, and all of a sudden she freezes.
Yeah.
And she throws herself on her back, all four paws up in the air, and starts doing the whining thing.
Yeah.
And my wife runs up, scoops her up, oh, baby, baby. And I'm like, oh, what was that? The poodle just threw her, just gave up. But now that she's used to snow, you know, she just didn't know what snow was.
Right, yeah. Right.
Now she runs around like a maniac throwing snow everywhere. But, well, you know, we baby our babies for sure.
Absolutely.
We have a little dog, right? So my wife got him a jacket, and it's a nice leather jacket lined and all this kind of stuff. We put it on the dog. He doesn't seem to much care for that. She also got him these little booty things. And I don't know if you've ever tried to put these booty things
on
dogs, but they walk around in the funniest way. I'm telling you, I would laugh for hours just watching this dog trying to walk around in these little booties.
We did that with our dog. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well,
One last thing, too. Yeah. You know, a lot of insurance companies now, the auto insurance, they cover injury to your dog, some of them.
Not all of them, but some of them do.
Wow,
so
that's
if you're if you're involved in a car accident, your dog's hurt. That's
carries
it. Yeah,
covers the vet's bills.
I guess. Yeah.
Good.
Well, that's good.
A few here and there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not everybody again. But
we have separate insurance on our dogs.
Pet insurance. Yeah.
Right. Like health insurance.
Yep.
Right. And is that a rider you can get on, like homeowners?
No,
or something?
They're typically a separate policy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a whole other subject, getting into, like, the breeds of dogs and insurance.
Yeah.
And it's based also on their age, too. If they're older, it costs more. Like life insurance, same thing.
Yeah.
All right, so Bruce Chapman from J.D. Chapman Insurance, thank you for coming on
the show.
Thank
you so much for inviting me. This has been fun.
Tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
Oh, okay. So you can reach our Macedon office at 315-986-4062. And our Canandaigua office is 585-394-5482. Or you can reach us on our website, which is all brand new. And my daughter says it looks pretty good, so it's got to be good. And that's at J.D. Chapman Agency, Inc. And you'll find all the great things we can do for you.
And where's your agency located?
In Canandaigua, we're about two doors down from Pudgy's.
Okay.
So there you go. You got pizza and insurance.
There you go.
American Legion for a,
there you
for
go.
A beer. Yeah, yeah.
That's
we
right.
got
you're
all
right.
the bases covered.
You're right to the left of the American Legion.
Right. Yeah. Right.
All right. Thanks very much. Okay.
Just in Macedon. We're right downtown, a big yellow building. You can't miss it.
Good.
Thanks again for having me. This has been great. Welcome. I really appreciate it.
I do too. Thank you very much.
See you later.
Good seeing you.
Good to see you.
Take care.
Safe out there. Thank you. I want to.
Peace is the result of retraining your mind to process life as it is, rather than as you think it should be. Please leave your expectations at the door. This Life's Moment is brought to you by Woody's Cafe, 2375 Route 332 in Canandaigua, New York. Breakfast and lunch cafe, cooking soulful food using local compostable products whenever possible. Local, seasonable, sustainable. Simple. Woody's Cafe.
Did he ask what the...
1310, he goes, I listen to that channel.
1310?
Yeah, he goes, that is one of my favorite channels I actually listen to, because I'm not bullshitting you.
Man, he's... I can't believe he said that.
You're right, on iHeartRadio.
Right, on Wham. Well, Wham... Awful Wham, but still part of Wham. Wonder what he listens to on that station.
Sports.
No, it's not sports anymore. Hasn't been sports for a while.
That's true.
It's all conservative talk.
Right.
Maybe he listens to it to get his info.
Hey, good morning, Canandaigua area. This is Three Men and a Microphone. Live. Today, Friday, January the 5th.
It was zero when I got here.
It was 1 degree in Rochester.
It was 2 when I first got in my car. I live in Brighton, so we're warmer up there.
We're warmer, yeah.
all that heat that we pay for just, you know, heats the outside air a little more.
It's like having Fairport Electric. Fairport's probably warmer.
That's right.
Man. I thought you were bringing donuts.
Yeah,
I was dreaming of donuts.
He's talking to me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to stop for donuts? I don't think so.
I wanted this. I was actually more on time today.
I know.
So yeah, I was going to go into McDonald's, but then I have to eat in front of you guys.
Oh, don't ever worry about that. It's not like we're starving to death over here.
Yeah. I know. I can always...
I've put on some pounds since the holidays, so...
Yeah, we do. It's called Down in the Buffaloes. Don't you hear the show? You don't listen to the show?
Well, I'm always working, Tim.
I love Brother Weeze.
Happy New Year, everyone.
And you are, man.
I really
thank you.
Thanks, Brother Weeze, by the way. Brother Weeze, through Melissa, plugged the show today.
Right. So we got to plug Weeze.
He don't need our plugging. But I'll tell you what, though. If I got to give not if I got it, but I want to. My compliment and respect for Brother Weez, besides being a very good guy to talk to when he sees you in public, he reminds me of the way a veteran should handle a public radio show, the same way Bill Coffey handled his radio show. He was a veteran who spoke about veterans from the point of view of a host, but not just only drawing attention to just the woes and highs of being a veteran. He just exemplified being a vet, and therefore you respected him, and you respected other vets. Bill Coffey, well, Brother Weez does the same thing.
Yeah,
he doesn't sit there and overdo a subject. He just exemplifies being a vet who came home, struggled, survived, and accomplished great things. And that's why I like Brother Weez on that veteran side issue only. I like him for other reasons, but that's my main reason, because of the way he handles himself as a vet.
Okay.
I know I probably didn't say it the best way I could, but that's what I will. But I know I'm conveying.
That's why you respect him.
Yeah, I like him. I like him. He's always been good to me. Now, Bob Lonsbury.
Come on, Tim. Come on.
Bob.
Come on. Now, we're on live Facebook here.
Bob comes in the store. He bought his man purse here. He bought an ammo can here. We've had talks in the store. So, Bob's okay.
All right.
Yeah. It's always funny, though, when the guys come in. There's another guy that was just in here from, I think, one of the news channels. And, you know, you're talking to him and you're ringing him up and you go, and you get closer and you go, don't I know you? And, you know, and they go, oh, I'm the news guy from Channel 8 or, you know, stuff like that. A lot of people come in.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know.
This is a popular store.
You know, people don't realize how popular it really is. But my favorite thing is to tell people that I have all these foreign armies that come in.
Foreign armies.
There's the response I get. And they go, oh, sure you do. Let me tell you, I've had the Indonesian army, the Iraqi army, the, let's see, who's the other guys? The Czechs have been in, of course, the Switzerland army, people like that, right? So they come in,
You're talking veterans from those forces.
Nope.
You're not talking the entire army.
I'm talking a group of them that represent the military.
A group. Okay.
Like about 30 or 15 or sometimes only two.
Okay.
But they represent their military. They're active duty.
Okay.
And the reason why they come in is because they're over here to train with Harris Corp on the radios.
Okay.
So I'm on the bus tour.
Okay.
They go, well, you know what we'd like to see? An Army-Navy store. People don't realize in other countries, a store like this is a bastion of freedom. So for them to come in here and see this kind of a store is amazing to them.
Yeah.
And they always come in and they buy good gear.
Yeah.
And I always help out the poorer armies, you know. And I have a great time with those guys. But I have all kinds of pictures, if you look in the Facebook pages, of me with all these other guys.
Uh-huh.
Even the Iraqi army. Pretty cool stuff, you know. All right, you ready to start?
Ready as we're ever going to be.
Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Hour 2 of Three Men and a Microphone, WOKR, Canandaigua, 1310, first in local news, right after these messages.
Iron Mike's Military Exchange is tactical.
The Military Exchange in Canandaigua is your best one-stop shopping for all your tactical needs. At Iron Mike's, every piece of tactical gear is hand-picked. Everything is field-tested by their military personnel, overseas contractors, field operators, special ops, and law enforcement. Iron Mike's has the best quality gear, USGI, that's government issue, 600 to 1,000 denier nylon, assault vest, plate carriers, helmets, mag pouches, slings, 1, 2, and 3-point bungee slings, holsters, rifle cases, snipers' drag bags, ghillie suits, woodland, desert and snow, three-day assault packs, medium transport pack, a wide variety of colors and manufacturers to choose from. This week's special, two multi-cam combat shirts, real issue and battle-tested. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York. Check them out online at ironmikes.co.
Tune in every Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m., for Three Men and a Microphone,
and a lady. Hear all about local news, politics, fishing report, and sports, as well as all the talk about town and the scuttlebutt in the city. To keep up on the show, stay connected and visit us on Facebook at Canandaigua 1310, Three Men and a Microphone. Presented each week, Saturday 8 to 10 a.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. Sponsored by the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. And to catch up on past episodes, go to IronMikesMX.com or WOKR 1310.